Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. This is I shouldn't say this is a particularly blessed week. All of the Easter season is extraordinarily blessed. Every day is actually blessed if we open our hearts to Him. But there are particular blessings in connection to certain feasts. And as we prepare to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, remember once again, many of you could just say this with me right now. Remember, we're not celebrating a past event. We're celebrating a lived reality. If you're living it, you'll celebrate it. Do you live the grace of Pentecost? Do you live out of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you? I want to take a look at that a bit through the course of this week. I'll just weave it through. But I think that you ought to, next Sunday, when we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, you really ought to prepare your heart during this week. And I'll show you how as the week goes on, to make your heart ready to receive, to make it open, to make it more docile, that is, teachable. God has so much to give you. Let's take a look at the scriptures, and you see, especially in the first reading, but throughout the scriptures this week, you see how different people or different groups of people are responding to the great, great blessing of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. The opening prayer for today says, "May the power of the Holy Spirit come to us, we pray, O Lord, that we may keep your will faithfully in mind and express it in a devout way of life." So I think those are two foundational blocks, that we keep his will faithfully in mind, not what can I get away with or just what do I want. I want what I want, and I want it now. That kind of self-centered, selfish immaturity that can be in all of us who, by age, are mature, but oftentimes in spirit and emotionally, we're not mature. So, may the power of the Holy Spirit come to us, we pray, O Lord, that we may keep your will faithfully in mind and express it in a devout way of life. So if we really love the Lord, if we want to follow him, if we want the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then our life has to reflect that desire, and in some ways, that fulfillment. We'll never have it fully fulfilled until heaven, but there are many ways that God wants to give his Spirit into our lives, into our hearts daily, in our daily circumstances, not just at church on Sunday, but in our daily circumstances. God wants to impart life to us. So we want to keep his will faithfully in mind. God, what do you will? What do you want? Empower me to know it and empower me to live it out. And he will. Make that your prayer, and he will answer it. So we want to keep his will faithfully in mind and express it in a devout way of life. That means that we're single-minded, that we want God to be glorified and honored and praised in what I do, the work I do, my family life, my friends, all my relationships, my workplace. I want to live a life that indicates God's at the center. Doesn't mean you have to preach. It doesn't mean that every word out of your mouth has to be an expression of the scriptures. But your attitude, your spirit, your intent, your goals, your speech should be reflected. It should reflect that you belong to God. Does it? And if not, let's begin. This is where the Holy Spirit really wants to inspire and lead us and guide us to union with the Father and the Son. That's what he's about. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the country and down to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" So Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And they answered him, "We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And quite frankly, there are a lot of us who call ourselves Christians who never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Or you may have heard the words, but you don't understand the meaning. This is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son who is Savior, the Father who gave you life, the Son who is your Savior, and the Holy Spirit who is the love between the Father and the Son. A love so infinite, so great, we cannot contain it. The Holy Spirit wants to be poured out upon us and draw us into Himself. It's not that we tuck the Holy Spirit in a certain corner of our lives and every once in a while we take it out and look at it. The Holy Spirit should cover your life. The Holy Spirit should be within you as well as surrounding you. How much room do you give to the Holy Spirit? How much do you give to the love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father? How much do you give that room in your life? Because that's what God wants to catch you up in, so to speak, that you love as He loves. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to do that, not only in relation to the Father and the Son, though that's the whole basis of it, and the covering and the roof, but it's also that because we have experienced and do experience the love, the power, the courage, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we're able to share that love with others, even if at first they hurt us or reject us or turn away from us. There's so much God wants to do, but it takes a people who are docile. That's teachable. And it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us how to be docile. So come, Holy Spirit, come. Really pray. And the people, as they go down through the interior of the country and down to Ephesus, he said, and he found some disciples. These are now followers of Jesus. But he says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they answered him, "We've never even heard there is a Holy Spirit." So they're getting partial information. They're beginning to respond. They want to be followers of Jesus. So Paul says to them, "How were you baptized?" And they said, "With the baptism of John." That's a baptism of repentance. And Paul then said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Give us everything you have. That ought to be our spirit. I want it. I want the gifts and graces given to me in baptism to come alive in me. The graces given to me in confirmation, let them come alive. They're not intended there to sleep. They're intended to lead you into union with the Father and the Son. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied altogether. There were about 12 men. What is tongues? Tongues, a gift of praise and worship. You know, our language, our understanding is limited. But when the Holy Spirit prays in us and through us, it's not an absolute necessity. But I frankly think if God gives these gifts, He wants them to be used. So tongues is a gift of praise. We praise not in our own language, but the Holy Spirit prays within us. There's a lot to be learned about that, and I'll share it in the coming weeks. But for now, Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 men. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. Here's the former traitor. He didn't see himself as a traitor. He saw himself as a protector of the old covenant, and to teach and to admonish and to tell people how they needed to be lived. And he was stunned by these Christians so much that he became a persecutor of the Christians. Paul, if you remember when Stephen was being stoned, Paul was the one who kept everybody's garments while they stoned Stephen to death. I've said this a couple times on the program, but I often think, what grace God must want to pour out on ISIS, a grace to turn them. Are there converts there? Are there potential converts there? Paul, he went around killing people who didn't obey what he believed to be what God wanted. He couldn't receive the new until what? Until Jesus appeared to him. Because Jesus had a particular mission for him, and he needed him to have it clear. He was kind to him, and he revealed himself. But it is the Holy Spirit every day in our lives who desires to reveal the Father and the Son to us, perhaps not by visions, but by interior revelation, by deeper understanding. God wants to give his gifts to us. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. In Psalm 68, the responsorial psalm tells us, "Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth." And the Gospel, John 16, 29 to 33, the disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." So now the disciples, things are beginning to click into place and they're assenting to Jesus. Jesus answered them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone." The abandonment of his followers before his crucifixion. Terrible, terrible pain to suffer, to be so alone after you've poured yourself out. But Jesus knew it was coming. "Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered into his own home and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered. I have overcome the world." Jesus is saying, "Come follow me. Cast your whole lot with my life. Come and follow me. Because I have conquered the world. And those who are faithful to me will see eternal life. Those who are faithful with me will reign with me. Those who are faithful to me now will have endless joy." And brothers and sisters, that's exactly what Jesus is saying to us. But we're so caught up in this world and its priorities and values, as I say so many times, we're so caught up in them that we don't realize that we're not living as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We're not living realizing that we have a Savior, a Redeemer. We live so much like the rest of the world. And I'm not saying we have to be odd or stand out in some strange way, but I am saying that when people see us, they should wonder why there's peace. Why do you have such wisdom? Why do you love these people who have hurt you? Why are you kind to these people who have never done a good thing for you? Our lives should reflect the presence of God, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen in tomorrow. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.